So I'm really excited about tonight because, you know, Francisco, we've had you on a couple of times. Bev, welcome. We're really excited to have you on as well. This is the first time I've had two people on at once, so this might be fun. Like we'll see if we have any challenges in that way.
Make it fun.
Yeah. But I mean, specifically, like, we have a lot of people that are interested in you know, making their own studio, and I don't really have a lot of guests on to talk about that. So I thought that'd be a fun way for us to talk about, like, what you guys are doing, how you've been doing it, and kind of where you got started and all that good stuff. So why don't we start with maybe each of you telling us just a little bit about your background and then kind of what led you into doing something together like this?
I'll start. So hi again for the third time. Cisco here. Started as an environment artist, worked my way through up the chain, essentially. Started as props, then environment, level, layout, world building, lighting. Around that time, I started messing with a bunch of blueprints and stuff. So that's kind of where I started messing with the technical side of things. F5, keep repeating until I ended up in Unity somehow. And now I'm a technical artist. So based on all my previous things I've messed with, I don't know, there's a kind of a good, I guess, fit at the moment to help developers trying to get their game working in a sense, since I touch every, you know, all across the board. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm doing now. Somewhere along that line, on the side projects.
Yeah.
One too many side projects kind of led into another, and then I guess the stuff you've been creating as a concept artist.
Yeah.
That kind of piqued my interest enough that, like, that's one of the reasons why I left previous companies, previous studios was, you know, a lot of them was like, you know, you work for us, you can't have side projects. Anything that makes money on the side, anything that's related to what we're doing, you cannot do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I don't want to work here anymore type of deal.
And that's pretty common, yeah. Right? Like most studios have rules similar to that to varying degrees.
I mean, I'm a concept artist and I wanted to go into games, but it's so difficult to get into games as a concept artist.
One of the hardest.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not exactly what they're looking for, you can pretty much guarantee you're not getting in. It has to be very close. And my style was never really fit Western style games because it's very specific. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm just having such a difficult time getting into this that I decided I was just going to go off and do my own thing.
Okay.
So that's pretty much what made me decide that I was just going to go and create my own characters and create my own worlds. And that's why I decided to just stick with freelance because it's pretty much all I could get.
How long have you been doing that in that way? And what kind were you doing concept art in a different field before then, or like, are we doing something different?
No, I pretty much started out in games because I wanted to specialize in concept art for games. When I went to school, it was, you know, at the game development program at Full Sail.
Full Sail.
Oh, okay, yeah. Great.
So I was like, this is what I'm going to do. But then I realized the program was all like 3D based.
Yeah, it's more like here's an overall things of 3D related.
Right. They created like one 2D class.
Yeah, they touched on 2D. But they did introduce 2D animation into the bachelor's program, and we graduated by then. That didn't exist.
They did have like one 2D course, but it was storyboarding, and I was like, I didn't really want to do storyboarding. So
yeah, you actually done that a little bit.
I did like start as
Disney
a storyboarder. Yeah.
Nice. But I like the idea of like if I want to do something and I can't find an avenue to do it, I'm just going to do it myself. And I think a lot of people are that way, right?
Yeah. A lot of people are that way, or they quit.
Yeah. Right, know? Yeah.
It's pretty much, your only two choices. You either make it happen, or you quit.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that makes sense. So when, like, how long ago did you decide to do this?
I guess you've always done the freelance route, just because of how hard it is to get into a specific studio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her style was more, you know, chibi, more like, I guess, fluffy in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Western game is like, oh, guns blazing, max grunge.
Pretty
at
home. Guns and violence, and my stuff did not match that at all.
So yeah, I guess that's like your trying to fit in that, because the other option would be like mobile games, but it doesn't have like the complexity or design or dog walking or whatever. For like, there's like no like that kind of softer. There's like no kind of like, you know, mobile is a really specific style to it. It's like soft, bubbly, or whatever.
Yeah.
But you don't get anything like a Spider-Man type of game with that style. It's, you know,
it's very comic-y.
Yeah. So,
you know,
yeah.
Everything's very comic, it's very specific.
Yeah. Like, you can't have like fluffy, bubbly stuff in a Spider-Man game, like a chibi Spider-Man. It's like,
no. Maybe if I was like in a, what is it? A different market. You know, I'd have to be in a different market. Yeah, like, but I didn't want to do like children's books either. It's like,
or learn Japanese.
Or learn Japanese, yeah, so I could
work on those type of games.
Yeah.
That's understandable. And it sounds like, you know, doing your own thing was, you know, the kind of the right path for you, you know, to move forward. What was your kind of initial idea? And how long ago did you form this company or to start doing this specifically?
Oh, geez. I was doing Hi-Rez, I think. That's when you started. 2016.
Oh, okay.
2016 is kind of the initial CNC branding, Crimson Creation. That's all everything that Bev's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when you kind of started the Instagram, to started posting and all that stuff, trying to build that some sort of online
presence, I guess.
Yeah. So that was nearing my end of Hi-Rez, because Hi-Rez was the, I forget the genre of it. That type of genre. I was like, it's cool, but it's not for me. Too esports like, and
yeah, I forget the name of it.
Paladins.
Not in the game. Yeah,
whatever,
like the type.
Yeah, whatever Paladins was considered.
Yeah, esports.
Esports,
essentially.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then that's how I ended up. We ended up in Texas for Arcane, which is the gameplay wise, design, all that stuff is pretty much exactly like what I want. But they were making a vampire game of their own at the time.
Right. And we just happened to be like, hey, let's make a vampire game. And they're like, hey, we're making a vampire game.
Yes, that's
like, okay, yeah. I quit.
That's when I quit. Well, the first game was Prey. So she was still doing her own thing, trying to build up the brand, the game, the story, or whatever. And I was working in space on the Prey game. I think I told myself, I was still interested in what she was doing. Like, if I really want to do it, finish shipping Prey and then, you know, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, I kind of still want to do this. I like what you're designing, story elements and all that stuff. I'm like, I kind of want to make stuff for that, you know, the thing that you're making. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll quit Arcane.
Interesting. Then,
it's just a leap of faith. That's all it is. You know, if you want to do it, you just have to decide, okay, you're going to do it. And you got to find a place where you can go where you could make your own thing.
And I think this kind of rolls into where I left off last time, which was Otterside Studios Entertainment, mm-hmm. Otterside Entertainment on the System Shock 3.
Right.
Pretty similar gameplay, that immersive sim. It's, you know, System Shock game, and the studio was like down the street from Arcane. I'm like, all right, small studio. I think it's like 11-ish, less than 11 people working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Two environment artists, me and another person. We had some former, the Star Wars studio in that area.
BioWare.
We have a bunch of former BioWare people who hopped on for like game design and both for design and combat design. So we had a lot of cool stuff going on. First time messing with Unity. And we also had like a direct contact with, I think it was called a spotlight team at Unity.
Mm.
So Unity has like a dedicated, I don't know, a few people to help you and help a studio, you know, solve Unity problems to try to make your game, you know, the best it can be.
So then this was the first time that you're working on, you know, your company together, that you did something else in addition to that, right? So did you, going into it, you had to be like, hey, I'm doing this thing on the side. Is that going to conflict with what I do for you guys? And that was okay? Like, they were cool with that?
Yeah, I bring that up all the time. It's like, all right.
That's kind of like make or break type thing now. He can't do his own thing.
Side projects and remote now.
So. Yeah, and remote now.
Agreed. Remote is top of my list. So, okay. So that's good because I think that can be tough, right? That can be a hard sell for some companies coming in, especially if it's anything, you know, in the realm of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So as you're doing that, then, like, how do you, in that situation, how do you decide to split your time? Because Bev, you're doing this full time, right? This is the thing that you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do you get enough of his time to keep you moving?
She's still like trying to tell me, like, oh, you're working this side? Are you going to do this? Oh, what's that? What are you working on now?
Unity, so you don't do a lot of art, you know?
That's true.
So now when you invest time in at night, it's like,
yeah.
Like, are you going to do art? Because I'm an art, very visual person. So it's like anytime he's working on programming, I'm like, you know, I have like zero interest in that. And I'm like, I want to see something. I want to see something.
I'm in the mindset of, I got to blueprint this foundation.
I just want to see it.
I feel rusty at pretty pictures these days, but
well, this like, is like it's an interesting lesson, right? Because as developers, we know that it takes a lot of underlying work to get something, you know, that's presentable in a way that, you know, that most people would see it and appreciate it and understand it. Right. And so, but we're all visual people, right? Like, we want to see it as soon as we can.
People only care about the final pixels, but I can't give you the final pixels if, like, everything underneath is held by duct tape.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So, I'm curious, and I just have to ask this as a married individual, I'm curious, does this situation, like, is it tense at times? Like, how do you collaborate without it putting a strain on your relationship? Because that's, game development's hard, right? Like, it's a stressful thing to do.
It is. I think mainly because you've pretty much taken the art director role. Mm-hmm. So, like, you get the vision. You could draw the vision as well. And I could just focus more on technical stuff because I prefer technical. I'm like, ooh, if I push button, I want something to happen.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to be like, oh, this is not right because I don't understand it. You know, so
it's
I definitely want to take over the technical stuff.
So, like, going back to the button, like, all right, I got a button, I push. How does the button look? Just tell me whatever you want. I'm like, all right, cool. It's a button that you ought approved now, so.
We do pretty well, though. I mean, we really don't argue that much about it. I can't say that for every couple, but.
Yeah, like, you also, like, design more characters than anything, so that's your warehouse.
I do, and, like, I know you make good environments, so, I let you deal with that. I think it's just a lot of, like, I understand what he's good at, so I trust him to do it well,
nice.
You know, and vice versa.
But every now and then, sprinkle in, like, you know, the critique, like, all right, I see what you're doing, but why is, you know, this here? I'm like,
the thing we have I think, most difficulty on is the writing. Because neither of us write, like, at all. So I write very specific, and he writes a different way. So
it's definitely a different tone, so.
When I give him my writing, I'm like, go read a book, because you don't know anything about writing.
And that's why we got Grammarly.
Yeah, so we have Grammarly, and I should really have other people read it, too, not just you.
Well, that's another thing. Like, you got to find people to read it.
Do you have, like, people I trust to read it?
Yeah, people we trust to read our stuff.
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, you also could start considering at some point bringing someone on to do that part of the work, right? And joining in what you're doing. And that's got to be a tough discussion, too, is, like, when do those kind of decisions happen?
Yeah, we keep on talking about, like, oh, we should just hire someone to do, like, character sculpting for us.
Right.
Because I'm mostly environment and hard surface. Mm-hmm. So much as character.
Like, he did Toasty, and Toasty looks great.
It's a beveled cube. So
but the actual organic character design, yeah. But we also would like to pay these people, and you need money to do that.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't, like, expect somebody to come on and just be like, no, invest a lot of time into making my vision, you know, without giving them money.
Yeah, without giving them money.
That's the tough thing, that the whole sweat equity part, you know, and getting rewarded later for what you're doing is, it's, that's a tough sell. It really is. I agree.
Oh, well, because then if it doesn't pay off, then you have all these people that are like, where's my money? So,
yeah.
But also attribute that, like, that's how I know so much as I do now, because I'm like, I can't pay you because I don't have money. I can't pay anyone a salary to keep them on long term. I can't do freelance, you know, whatever, because I could pay somebody once to do the thing, but if I need them to fix it, I need to cough up more money, or maybe that person left on another project or busy, so he can't pick it up. I got to figure out what he left behind. So I think because of that made me kind of dig into, like, that's why I'm touching, like, a lot of everything. So.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I mean, it's there's kind of benchmarks along the way where those things could happen, right? Like, if you get something out that, you know, starts to make some money, or you look for an investment or those kind of things. Have you had those kind of discussions at all? Like, have you talked about, you know, trying to get investment to move it faster? Like, what's kind of your overall vision for the roadmap?
There's not. I mean, it can't,
okay, right? Like,
it crossed my mind, but it's at the same time, it's like, we still gotta, going back to, like, the writing, if we're gonna ask for investment, we need stuff in writing to clearly dictate, this is our plan, we requesting this much money.
You need the vision first. It's like, if you have no product to sell somebody, they're not gonna just give you money.
Right.
So I feel like you basically need to be able to present, you know, 80% of what this game's gonna be like, finished, you know, and then they'll have an idea, because you got to go into it thinking these people are not going to have any idea what you're talking about. They're not invested in your vision in any way,
right?
You know,
all they care about is the return on.
All they care about is the return, their return.
Yeah.
So you have to basically bring them a completed idea, or, you know, you're not going to stand a chance. You're going to be sitting there going, why didn't they invest in my project? It's so good. It's like, yeah, but they don't care.
Right.
So, I forget, just like a saying or something, like, yeah, ideas is good, but, you know, having, you know, here's proof is even better.
So we're still in the process of making the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So
it's just going to take forever. It's just two of us, you know? So,
yeah. Like, initially, we're going to at least get a demo phase. So you get, like, a playable demo. Here's a physical thing. Put it on Steam and make it, like, whitelisted or something like that. And build interest and all like that.
You know, it's no lie when we tell people we've been working on it for like 6 years, 7 years. They're like, it can't take that long. I'm like, yeah, but it does. You know,
it takes studios of like 300, like a few years to pump out a game. So
yeah,
subtract 298.
I mean, there's definitely, you know, things you can do faster, but that's not what you're trying to make, right? Like, you've got, you're in that process now of, like, you're figuring out what you want it to be. And you'll get to a point where you're like, this is the thing we're making now. Now let's start to figure out what that roadmap looks like.
Yeah, it's more like we want to make something that we're happy with, you know, more story-centric and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then figure out how to market and sell it. Whereas a lot of games now is more like the other way. It's like, all right, we're going to have this open world, this. Does it check all of these checkbox? Does it have, like, planning all that pricing and everything, monetization up front now, which...
Yeah, and then when you know, play the game, it's like
poopers.
You know.
Well, I mean, there's also the whole thing of, like, you're two people that are not always 100% committed to, you know, this all week. So your level of engagement is even going to fluctuate. So it's really hard to kind of tell what's that roadmap look like anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, right? Like, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have any, since we don't have investors, we're not.
Yeah, we're not on that timeline to complete it. I mean,
timeline would be nice, but.
The timeline is nice, like, but it's not reality. You know, you can set up a timeline all you want, but, you know, things are going to happen. Stuff's going to get in the way. Your mood's going to change. As an artist, you're never going to be, like, creating every single day, 8 hours a day. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you might get spurts of that, right? Like, we're really excited about it or making some good progress, but that's usually not a sustainable thing for sure.
Like, any long weekend I get, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do this, and like, all right, I'm doing something else now, apparently.
And then you hit your work week and you're like, I hate all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just normal life's going to get in the way, right? Like it's, there's all those things to consider. Yeah. So it's interesting though, that you're in a good spot in that you're not, you can let it take as long as it wants to take, right? Like you can make the thing you want to make because you also have, you know, the other work that you have that's, you know, keeping you, you know, sustainable while you're making that happen. A lot of people, they go all in one way or the other, and then they either don't get to make the project they want to, or now they're trying to rush something out because they need to be able to you know, pay their bills. That's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, that's one thing we didn't want to do was like, just, you know, like sell off everything, all eggs and, you know, whatever game project we're going to do. I'm like, that's, I like to play on the more the safer side. Like I got a full-time job. So everything else is on the side and we just, you know, fund it that way in a sense.
Yeah. So it's just that sweat equity. That's however long it's going to take. It's going to be fine. All right. Quick question. Are you drinking? Because I have shots to take. And do you want to join in on this? Oh my goodness. What you got? A you got a Jameson and cola in a can. I love it. I took one shot before we got started, and so I've got to take three more. So I'm going to, this is going to be fun times.
And then Bev is on bubbly.
I have Prosecco.
Prosecco.
Nice. Excellent. Cheers. Let's do that first.
Cheers.
One.
Cheers.
How is that? That concoction you got there?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I've taken a sip before. It's.
She's not a fan.
I disagree.
That's okay. That's why we have lots of different drinks available. We can all like what we like. It's fine. It's fine. So, tell us a little bit about the game itself. Like, because you've talked about your style, but you didn't really talk about what that is. Like, what are you kind of hoping to do here that you can talk about or want to talk about? Like, what kind of game is it? Like, what's the, you know, perspective and like, how do you interact with it?
I guess the main game is called, I guess, Vampire Apprentice. That's where it started with the whole vampires and everything.
Mm-hmm. But so, since every vampire game in existence is just like your atypical vampires and, you know, you're just running around killing everyone, we wanted to do the opposite of that. So okay. We're making one that is, you know, it has that Harry Potter vibe where you're a vampire and you're in school, but it's more lighthearted.
Okay.
You know, you're basically learning the ropes.
You're learning to be a vampire in a sense, but yeah. All your vampire kids, they're just bad at being vampires.
Yeah, they're all basically bad. You know, they're kids. So they're all trying to learn, but, you know, they're not great. They all have their own flaws and everything. So you don't just start out as this, like, super awesome vampire and
just a kid.
Yeah, you started as a kid.
So then does this imply that in your world vampires are born and not created?
Yes.
Interesting.
They're born, all not right. created.
Interesting.
And you could be mixed, you know? You mix be mixed with anything. You could be human or vampire. Yeah,
base it off kind of like a species, like vampire species. Just I don't know, we got some many documents staying, like, you know, long ago, you know, whatever. Enough. I don't know anymore. Essentially, you have, you know, your usual light and dark. Within darkness, you got your branches of, all right, this is the dark, you know, dark-aligned entities, vampires being one of them. You get demons, you get other, like, you know, dark-aligned things. And then you have your light, which is more of angels and, you know, stuff like
fairies.
That. Fairies. And in the middle, kind of like, yeah, between the two, you have your gray, grayscale, and that's mostly humans, but, you know, since it's a gradient, vampires also lie within the gradient.
Mm-hmm.
All species actually is on a gradient in a sense, so.
Well, they're just like people. I mean, you can be a vampire and you can be good or you can be bad, you know.
And expanding upon that, you could have demons, but they're like the light demon or whatever, and then you have angels that's all about, you know, killing because, you know, whatever, right? Mix and match.
But not that dark. I don't know, to like, let's go kill some people.
Let's go do some crimes.
Let's go do some crimes.
Yeah,
It's just lighthearted. See, we want to keep it more lighthearted. Yeah. You feel more like, you know, you're playing an old game and you're really enjoying the story and more in that sense.
Okay.
Rather than like the new games now, which is just all about visuals, all about action.
Open world.
Everything has to be open world, you know, all that stuff. We're not going with that.
What kind of style is it? Is it level based? Is it like an isometric view? Like do you have that part kind of figured out or
like a fixed third person top down?
Okay.
Top down, but you know, more whatever, angled down. Fixed camera. I guess what Destiny came to mind in a sense was Destiny's open world, but it's also contained within like bubbles.
Okay.
So level based where there's like different areas, but within that area it's like a, you know, kind of like a set size to it. It's like semi-linear. I think Dishonored is another one of my references. It's you got a level, you got a point A, point B, but figure out how you're gonna get there. Mm-hmm. In that sense, it's that type of a, you know, mm-hmm. more player choice.
Yeah. And is it like are the choices open to you based on the race? Like the kind of character you have,
you're always going to play as a vampire kid.
Okay.
So, oh, gotcha. As a vampire. Gotcha.
Okay.
This is also a stealth game too.
Oh, that's interesting. All right.
So stealth game, no time of day. Depending on the mission, it's either going to be, you know, nighttime or daytime, and then the daytime mission is going to be hard mode essentially. So the usual, you gotta. Think of like Metal Gear Solid 1 minus the combat. Like okay. More sneaking around, more tactical. You could find items and stuff, pick up, hide in or whatever, stay in the shadows.
Okay.
That type of stuff. So it's kind of ambitious, but out of all of that, we kind of rescoped in a sense. But instead of rescoping that game, we still like that idea, that game. We just pretty much did a save as, and now we're making that toaster game.
Well, yeah, talk about the toaster game. I forgot about that. So what's going on there?
So going back to the vampire stuff, I think I did a doodle. No, one of the stories, like one of your kids can like enchant, like, you know, enchant stuff.
He enchants electronics.
Yeah,
with kid
he enchants, since going back to the whole light, dark, demon, whatever. Since he's a vampire, he's dark aligned, he can enchant things.
Mm-hmm.
So this one kid enchant an appliance, which happens to be a toaster, and so that's where I guess
that's how he's born
from that game.
And so is this you've put the vampire game to the side for a moment while you're focusing on this? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Yes.
Only because I feel like this is a little bit more achievable.
Yeah.
You know, okay. in a timeline, in a date.
That vampire game is going to be our AAA game.
Gotcha.
So
another friend of mine has done this exact same thing. He was working on a bigger thing, and then he's like, while I'm slowly working on that, I'm going to do this other thing that I feel is like more, you know, attainable and doable. So like what about this one makes you feel like it's something you could, you know, push through faster?
So kind of like the same, I guess, story-wise, it's all kind of interlinked or whatever. So that's on a story level. All right, cool. We can make it work. But you like the toaster, as I was messing with like the mechanics and stuff, I don't know if I've shared it to you or not, but as a toaster, you could double jump, you could do whatever, slide, anything you would do as a normal, like a...
As a normal like toaster? A normal toaster
can do. So just getting that done itself, so I'm like, all right, everything works, it's cool. It worked for the toaster, but do I want to do all this again for the player characters? And all the, you know, humanoid stuff, which I have to model, which I'm going back to, like, I don't want to model it myself. I'm not. But as a toaster, I can do that.
You can totally handle a toaster.
I got the move set kind of solid. So just do a save as and just focus on a toaster. And then referencing another game that I really like, Mega Man.
Oh, there you go. All right.
So that's kind of, you know, that game exists. It has a... Bev is checking the dog. It's crying for some reason. You want to say hi, Isaac?
Come here, Isaac.
So since Mega Man, it's a game we could reference. It exists.
Oh, my goodness.
The main thing I like about Mega Man, it's, you know, it's level based. You have, you know, 8 levels, maybe 9 if you count the last one that you'll be doing fighting. Anyway, Mega Man-esque. Get from point A to point B. I'm gonna do like 3.5D, and you have a toaster. Get from point A to point B. At the end of the level, fight a bigger boss. You rinse and repeat 8 times, and that sounds more doable than what, you know, the original goal is.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, and it's also something where you could make one level as a proof of concept, you know, and mm-hmm. your minimum viable product, right? And you know, then iterate on top of that, get feedback on it, that kind of thing. That's nice. I like that. Is your goal with this to like finish, get it out, and like potentially use that as a source of income to fund the bigger project? Is that your goal?
Yes, exactly.
Nice. Do you have, so it seems like that's the kind of game that you could have a clearer roadmap for. It, you know, if that's something you're trying to do on a specific timeline, are you thinking about it that way yet? Or is it still more of like, let's kind of get it up and running and get the basic stuff in there?
Yeah, I think the basic stuff is getting there. I think the other main thing I got to figure out is AI.
Mm.
I got like super simple AI, just, you know, one is from point A to point B. If you touch the AI, you get hurt. I'm like, all right, that's easy enough, but I want a little bit more design with that.
Yeah.
And once I get that done, it's just button mashing a level together. And
are you building in Unity?
The pretty part.
Yeah, the pretty part. You're using Unity for it?
We're using Unreal.
You are using Unreal. Is there any?
Because we started this game in Unreal, I'm like, I don't want to switch engines.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But we do have a Unity game plan.
We do have a Unity game plan.
So is there?
So we just focus on one thing. We get something done.
One thing at a time. One thing at a time. Is there an opportunity for you to like get to like purchase AI kits, things like that, from the store and integrate that? Have you tried anything like that yet?
I've downloaded a few stuff, but I think it goes back to like, you know, all right, I downloaded this package. It works a very specific way. If it breaks, what do?
Yeah.
So at the same time, I'm trying to learn it from the ground up, saying, trying to get at least somewhat of an understanding of how things work. Like for the toaster itself, Toasty, like the animation blueprint setup, that's like a whole nother like whatever thing. But once I started messing with it, I'm like, oh, it makes sense. Okay, I could see where you could tap into what to edit. So if I buy any animation blueprints kits and stuff, I could have somewhat of an idea of how to integrate it better.
Yeah.
So I think it's just same thing with anything else.
Okay. So what do you think is going to get you to the point where you move back to working on your bigger project? Is this we're going to ship this thing, get it done fully before we move back, or are you also slowly working on that one as well?
At our current rate, we're just slowly working on everything at the same time. So.
Yeah.
I would like to finish one thing.
At least one thing. So I think that's... That's where the other idea of like, oh, let's start a small, even smaller game.
Yeah. Are you going to bring in a third smaller game now?
So again, going back to VA, Vampire Apprentice, there's different races in it. One race in particular, it's your favorite.
To the salt ones?
We have a salt based race.
Yeah.
Entities made up of salt, essentially. Mm-hmm. But essentially, one of the stories behind that is I guess my pitch to you was, they kind of like, you know, if you go back to the beginning with light and dark and all that stuff, they start up as like type of like a will-o-wisp,
mm-hmm.
a wisp type. Since humans and stuff are running around, the wisp, you know, they kind of, oh, I want to become human too. So they kind of started, since they're like a blobbish entity, eventually they're trying to mimic humans and eventually become humanoid looking. Mm-hmm. Entities.
Interesting.
But amongst that, they have you have like alternate AUs. So I guess we should try to figure out if it's part of the main story or just a bunch of like, within their culture, they have a bunch of like, you know, fairy folklore amongst themselves. And each one of those stories is something like a different themed. One of those theme came up was the frog prince or the lotus prince in our case. So there's a whole like concept series of the characters as like a frog prince storyline.
Interesting.
But because of that, because of the doodles and stuff and the stuff I'm seeing, I'm like, all right, this is cool, whatever, you know, it's all neat. And then you said, oh yeah, they live in a golf course.
I was like, oh yeah, because everybody because everybody knows the frog prince is such a well-known story. I'm like, how could you make this more interesting? I was like, you're just gonna put them on a mini golf course.
Yeah, they live in a mini golf
course. So they're very tiny, they're very small, and they just like traverse all the different stations. So like this guy's house gets exploded in the beginning because he lives in like this flower home and lotus, a golf ball, lotus flower and a golf ball hits his house and
that's the initial like
all the petals go everywhere. So your whole goal is to go get these petals
and
again.
And that's where the game idea is centric. I'm like, all right, if you live in a lotus flower and got hit by a golf ball and the flower petals gets, you know,
dispersed amongst the
different stations. So there you go. Each level, different theme. The goal is to puzzle your way from A to B. Get that lotus petal.
Okay.
So this would be more of a puzzle game.
So is it like each level is one of the holes of the course? Like you're making your way along a mini golf course? Okay.
So like there'd be like, you know,
gotta have your pirate
ship because that's such a classic miniature golf.
Windmill.
Yeah, windmill, the Yeti, where you have to go up the mountain.
So, you know, just stuff like that. Like just, you know, what if you just even that sentence, oh, they live in a golf course. I'm already getting ideas. I'm like, all right, I can see how this works. I can gamify this. And then... Yeah,
there's some pretty elaborate mini golf courses out there too, right? Like there's some pretty wild stuff for reference.
So
that one would be a Unity game.
That one would be Unity.
It's a new game. All right, start from the ground up, pick an engine, Unity, because I work in Unity, so I'm like, might as well use the engine. And at the same time, I'm like, all right, let's learn C sharp now. So because of the previous stuff I messed with, blueprints and all that stuff, it all makes sense now. I almost prefer working in Visual Studio instead of ZBrush now, for better or worse.
Really? That's a big difference. Yeah, but you also just like encapsulated a tech artist in one sentence, right? Like you're two very different tools that have very different uses, technical, and you're comparing them.
Artist.
So my eyes just glaze over, and I don't even know what's going on. And they just start to separate.
You know, and that's okay. And I was going to comment on this earlier. It sounds like you guys have found like this is your lane, this is his lane. Like you trust each other to work in your lanes. His lane seems to keep getting wider because he keeps trying to learn all this other stuff. But but I mean that's good though. Like, and you know, you've got the trusting each other and knowing what each other's capable of, but also probably being able to be like, the result didn't end up matching what I'd hoped for. Can we go back for a different result?
As an art director, you know.
I say I don't like this at all.
Right, yeah.
You don't put a wife card, you put an art director.
It's an art director card, trust me as the art director, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think either card's going to work, right? Depending on the situation,
It's just a multiplier.
It's all right. Yeah. Wait till she pulls out both of them, and then you're really in trouble.
What's the third card?
What's the third card?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
You'll know when you see
the couch.
Oh. I don't know if I like this. You'll know it when you see it. That's a terrifying notion.
It's a loot box.
That's right. All right. I'm gonna take another shot. I've got to start getting through these, or we're going to run out of time. So I'm going to do this.
All right.
Look at you. Cheers.
What, Isaac? You can't have any.
Maybe.
You need to share more.
I don't know what you want. You even took you out before we started, so you won't.
In the realm of dogs, that means nothing.
Yes, means nothing. That's the big one. Now, what's he going to be doing?
He's just like, he's sitting in our doorway over there, staring at us.
You can see my biggest one's down here.
I know, he's what a good puppy. He's just sleeping.
He has another one, too.
Yeah, the corgi is with Mama. So, yeah, Luna's hiding right now.
You're still crying.
When I did the episode, the last guest I had, we both have corgis, and the last half hour of the show ended up being corgis in our laps, talking dogs the whole time. So, just saying, like it's not out of the realm here. So, what do you guys find is the most difficult thing? Like, as you've kind of got this thing. For me, having a side project is just difficult in general. But finding the time for it. You know, finding the motivation when I do have time, those kind of things. What do you both find is your, like, the thing that keeps you from making the kind of progress you want to, you know, on a daily, weekly basis?
Motivation, I think, probably is the biggest thing. Yeah. Just, like, the time constraint of the day. It's like, you can only do so much in a day until your brain's just like, that's it.
Yeah.
She's not going to do anymore. And I think that's fine. I think you need that downtime. You need to do other things. You know, it's like, yeah, we all want to see it go really fast. We want to see it get done. But I just think it's not worth sacrificing your mental health over.
Yeah, I've done that enough in our career.
Yeah.
And all the moves and everything. It's like,
when you first started, it was like, you know, work, work, work. All the time work.
Work is the best.
Work, you know, overtime crunch, no problem. And now it's like, we don't want to do that.
No, next one, sleep and rotate the camera.
You know, so you got to kind of be a little bit forgiving. You got to forgive yourself a little. Yeah.
Do it on your time when inspiration strikes, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the reasons why I'm always hopping a different project. Like, I got stuck in there. I'm like, all right, let's do something else. All right, let's do some coding. Like, I don't know what I'm doing with coding. I'm going back to here. And by the time I circle back, things make sense. It's like I plant the seed and wherever I'm stuck and then come back to it later.
Mm.
And then it clicks all of a sudden. So many projects, many distractions help.
Yeah, and it's different for everyone. I guess some people can do that crunch. Some people can just push through it. Mm-hmm. But in our case, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I hear that. I'm someone who, especially at this point in my career and life, is like, mental health is way too important. You know, like, we can all, the second I hit a particular like cap of time, my productivity really starts to drop. But then additionally, for me, I have ADHD. So I need like for me, it's like there are spurts of like super energy where I'm like, I'm really going to work on this thing and I'm going to do 3 days worth of work in 8 hours. And then I can't do anything for 2 days. Like, I deal with those kind of things on top of it. Do either of you deal with that at all? Or is it just more of like the general, you know, finding time in life type stuff?
I think you deal with some of that, the ADHD.
I'm already distracted.
Yeah, look, see, he already doesn't know what's going on. He's looking at Isaac.
I know. Like, why are you? I know why. I know why now. Because we didn't feed him. He wants his food.
Oh, he's hungry?
Didn't feed him.
You want this food?
Yeah. Let me explain your why you can't do this.
What was the question?
Oh, I was curious if ADHD or anything this is like why that. Done. Yeah, no, I get it. Does anything like that impact your productivity? Like, do you have to find kind of more modern ways to think about work and how you separate it out?
I think I kind of use work as a. I don't know. Work is kind of like. Helps me focus in a sense, because if I'm at work, they're like, all right, you got to do, you know, somebody's telling me, all right, you got to get these things down. You got to, I'm like, all right, I could obsess over that, think about, you know, how that works and all that stuff. But then after work, I'm like, you know, what do? Don't want to mess with this project, make a game or play a game. And I think I just rotate.
Yeah.
Recently, we've picked up, we dug out our PS3 to play a PS2 game this past week now, just, you know, reminiscing
what
ideas.
Game? You can't just say a game. Come on. Like,
what? What was the game? Champions of Nora.
Oh, yeah, Norath. I remember that.
Norath.
Yeah. It was an EverQuest game, right?
I'm not sure, actually. It's by Snowblind Studios.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was I'm pretty sure that was based in EverQuest, if I'm remembering right. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that had couch co-op though, right? That was a good game. Yeah. That was a really good game.
Couch co-op up to 4 players, and this was a PS2 game.
Yeah, that's wild. That's really wild. But yeah, that's cool. Like, I am currently this close. To like buying all the old consoles again and starting to collect cartridges, because like I got rid of almost all of that stuff at some point. I wish I hadn't, but I did. And I'm like, do I want to go buy a Super Nintendo and like start to buy, you know, games again? Like I'm real tempted.
Yeah, that's another side deviation. So we found an old retro place to sell old games, and like, is that Mega Man's Legends? I want this game now.
Oh, I know, it's dangerous though. Yeah. You go in there and you're like, oh, I need this, and I need this, and you're like, now I need time.
Yeah. That's how it goes. I've got way more things to do than I have time to do them. But it's about what do I have the most interest in doing right now? And that, for me, that changes a lot. So having a lot of things to choose from is good. They just don't all get done very quickly.
I think going back to the ADHD stuff is, yeah, I can mess with this, or whatever. But anything I decide to mess with at that point in time has to relate back to the main goal, which is Toaster of Vampire Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I'm like, oh, I want to mess with Regan today, like, it better be toward Toaster or anything coding related. It has to be related to something that we've started.
Mm.
I think that kind of helps me a little bit.
It just like keeps you in one lane.
Yeah.
You know, you're not like doing something that's totally out there and not related to it.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't like in our current project ideas and stuff, there's no need for like a sci-fi hallway yet. That's a really big dog compared to.
Yeah, it's a horse. So, yeah, he's quite the big dog. Yeah, he's a little distracting.
But yeah, there's no need for like a sci-fi hallway. So, if I want to make a sci-fi hallway, I probably shouldn't, because none of our existing IPs need that yet.
What a good boy.
Yeah, he's a good boy. So it's funny, you said something earlier that I find is a motivating factor for me, and I think is pretty consistent with ADHD, is having deadlines. Like, you know, when you're doing your work and you're like, oh, we need this done by Friday, we have this checklist of things to do, those things motivate me really well, right? Like, that's something I can be like, I've accomplished something, I accomplished the next thing. It's easier for me to kind of work through something if I have those. Is there an opportunity to do something like that with your company as well? Like, can you kind of create those micro goals for yourself? Would that work the same way?
I don't know.
Like giving yourself deadlines, essentially. Does that work for you?
My deadline.
It can be tough, right? Making your own deadline can feel artificial, right? It may not have the same urgency. So I'm curious, like, if you're the one making the goal, does it give you the same kind of desire to finish the goal?
Like, I got 2 current goals that I passed already. I didn't finish. I'm like, oh, Christmas break. I want to work in AI stuff. I saw the review for Armored Core 6. I'm like, ooh, Armored Core. So then I decided to like, all right, let me make this mech now. I'm gonna give myself a Christmas break to make a mech, a toaster themed mech. but I haven't finished that yet.
Yeah, I suppose it is a little different when there's no fear.
Yeah, that's,
you know.
Right. It makes a big difference. Fear.
There's no consequence that if you don't finish that. You know,
yeah, I mean, it goes back to like, all right, I feel like doing this thing, so let me do this thing. I feel happy doing it.
I feel like you work well with deadlines for your companies, because if you don't do it, then you're gonna get fired. You know, I'm not gonna fire you off the project here.
Maybe you should, you know, put some real fire under there. No,
find another unicorn.
Yeah, right, it's gonna work for free, sure, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard sell, right? Like, but I think this is something that is a even potentially kind of an untapped territory. Like, I feel like there's ways we could make those that kind of pressure, right? Like, there's a little bit of pressure to it that for me gives me desire and the ability to kind of work through something that if it was just me deciding I wanted to do it, I wouldn't be as effective. So I wonder if there's strategies or tricks we can do to almost trick ourselves into being productive.
That's a hard one. Only because, like, at the same time, like, yeah, we could be to accelerate something to get the thing done, but I'm in more the mindset of I want this done, like, just right so I don't foresee future problems.
Yeah.
I think maybe if you, like, bring other people in it, like, make the accountability for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you post it on social media or something and you promise you're going to post on this date, then post on that date. You know, and if you don't, then, you know, everybody kind of knows you missed. So it's like...
Yeah, like, that's kind of your...
That's my thing, yeah.
Because you said the whole,
coffee
thing.
Coffee thing. Yeah. And now people, I have subscribers, so...
Yeah, too.
Have to make the content, essentially. Now, so. Otherwise, you know, they're giving me money and I can't be like, oh, I didn't do it.
Wait, so what is this? What did you set up?
Oh.
It's like a Patreon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but essentially it's called coffee. It's the same thing though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a different.
Is it for the game or is it some or is it?
No, this is just for me personally.
It's kind of like what she does before freelance stuff.
Oh, okay.
So more art concept related. People who can't like who's looking for like a base to start drawing on. I think, you know, that's kind of like what you would.
That's what I've been making. Yeah. So it's for like artists that are having trouble getting started. That
initial like base.
You know, they're like, I have a lot of ideas and I have a lot of characters that I want to make, but the hardest part for them is just like, where do I start?
Okay.
So my copy is like focused on creating those bases so you can take them and have a foundation. You know, that foundation that we all need for everything.
Right, foundation.
Yeah. So, and I'm like, it makes a big difference in the end product. So,
yeah. I mean, that's great. So they can take
these spaces and get the ideas out quicker. You know, they have a lot of new ideas.
And so. On top of that, you like sprinkling, oh, here's a story snippet of.
Yeah, instead of sharing my own. I want to show them how I use it. I mean, the bases are all well and good, but I feel like you need to prove that. You know, you can create something with it.
Yeah, so you have a nice generic base to work on. You make the characters from VA and using the same base pose.
Using the same base.
And it both shows, all right, based on this base, this is the character, and this character is from our story. And here's a little snippet, so it's kind of...
So it all ties together, you know. But it's also more useful for them because, you know, getting people interested in your project is... very hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they're not emotionally invested in this in any way. And, you know, talking about it, they'll be interested a little bit, but it's very hard to keep people's interest. So if you give them something they could also use, I feel like it's more useful because then they can take it themselves and be like, I can go also create my own.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know? So they can be like, yes, I love your stuff, but I have all my own ideas. And I'm like, okay, well, that's what the bases are for. So if you want to make your own characters, just take it, take those and go do your own thing as well. You know.
Interesting. So do you the stuff that you provide, is it in your style or do you also give them something specific to their needs if they need it? Like how is it kind of structured?
It's mostly structured around my style.
Okay.
You know, so I try to keep the bases as generic as possible. So, you know, they're not like really, really super stylized, even though they are stylized. It's still enough that you can take it and tweak it to how you want. Because I wouldn't want to give them anything too super realistic, because then I feel like everyone's kind of stuck in that one specific style. So I just kind of make it as simple as possible so they can create their own thing.
And is it like you talked about how the setup pushes you to kind of provide the content along the way. Is that like a generalized set of content or like how do you structure that?
It's structured in tiers. So it's like I basically tell you I provide 3 poses a month And that's what you're expected to like get upon paying the subscription.
Gotcha.
So it's like, okay, they're giving me $2 and I said I would make you 3 poses. So next month they'll get 3 poses, you know, type thing. So it also kind of helps me. I don't go overboard. Like I know I only have to make those 3.
6.
Well, yeah, 6 right now because there's 2 tiers.
Yeah, so.
So, but at the lowest tier, it's 3. So if you only wanted to have that 1 tier and just make those 3, then you're good.
But in terms of workload, it's, and you got to think of the high end.
Yeah, at the high end. So right now I have to make 6.
At least 6 and then split it up, you know, according to the tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you sign yourself up for at least 6 poses.
Yeah. So you basically have to understand what you can handle every month.
Right.
You know, to do this. So
you're looking at like 1.5 a week, right? Is that how you do it, or do you try to bang it all out in 1 week for the month?
Well, it depends on. I can like bang out 3 a day, you know, so that's like my lowest tier met, you know, and the other ones are a couple poses, so those take me a little longer. It might take me 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, in the scope of having an entire month, I could easily achieve that.
Right.
You know, even if I'm having like a few days where I'm like, I don't want to do anything. You know, I'm having those down days where I'm just over it.
Yeah.
And, you know I can still accomplish those tiers. So you just really have to understand what you can handle.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because like I love talking about the emotional and mental side of this stuff, because people don't often think about that, right? Especially in a case where they're like, hey, I'm paying for a service. I expect that service to be provided, you know, that kind of vibe. You just mentioned something that happens to me a lot where it's like, for the next couple of days, I don't feel like doing anything outside of the things that I have to do. You know what I mean? Like I need to recover in that time. So how do you kind of gauge, you know, okay, I'm going to be okay not doing something for X time, because then I'll have, you know, this much time to kind of pick back up where I need to.
It's hard. I think you really have to understand how you feel, you know, and I've been doing it for a very long time. So I know when I have like my down time and I know what I can accomplish when I pick back up. So it's just really understanding what you can handle. You know, everybody's so different on how they like go down and how they come up that it's hard to judge. And I think you just.
You're right. It's a very personal thing. It definitely is. It's tough, right? Because there could even be moments where you're like, you know what? It turns out I couldn't really be productive for like a week, you know, like, and that thing can happen, right? But it can also be a little stressful if that happens near the end of the month where you're trying to like get something finished up. So does that artificial pressure help?
Yeah, it's just good to have people like, especially your followers and things, that they understand that you're not always going to produce your work on time.
Mm.
You know, it's just like, we're all human. It's just not physically possible to do that. But it's just the age we live in. It's just like, everybody's like the social media age.
It's just pump out content.
And you're not too worried about the people behind that. You know, there are people making this content and it's a lot of work. You know, and once they create all this content, it's like, then they got to turn around and make more. You know, they essentially don't get a lot of downtime, and it wears on them too. I see a lot of social media popular ones that are just like, I'm so burnt out, I can't do it anymore. They
disappear for months.
Yeah, and then they disappear for months, and it's like,
followers drop, and
yeah, so it's like, and it's their livelihood, so it's difficult.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to get your following, you know, if you have a following that understands that you're a person, and, you know, the content will come. It's going to come. I mean, they trust you. It's going to get made.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe not just exactly when they expected.
The nice thing about this is the kind of content that resonates with people is real content, right? Like people who are being genuine, they're, because I think we connect very well with people when we feel like they're human, you know, and we understand kind of what they're going through. It relates to what we're going through. And I think the content creators that we really latch onto, we feel like we understand who they are. And that's great now, right? Because like it's a point where you can be honest, right? You can be, look, here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm doing. Like last week, the stream didn't work out. And I was just like, you know what? Instead of trying to wrestle something together, I'm just going to take this evening to relax and kind of regroup and, you know, that kind of thing. And that's okay. It should be okay. And we need to make it okay. And I think that's starting to really kind of resonate people as we're finally entering an age where mental health is a priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in a professional, I guess, setup, just make sure your leads and managers know that, oh, this is going to be in time. So let people know.
Right. You have to be honest with them too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. So give them a chance to reschedule or push things back. Let them do their manager powers to not push, you know, whatever.
It's just like, we're so used to thinking, oh, people aren't going to understand, you know, it's like, I have to do it. I have to get it done. There's no way anyone's going to understand. People will understand. Because more often than not, they feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big deal. And I, you know, it's one of the things that I care a lot about. And, you know, I talk about a lot. And when you, especially when you're in business for yourself, like, it's really, really hard to, you know, to kind of like regulate that and be like, you know, all these things are waiting on me. People are counting on me. It's literally only me that can do the thing. That can be a really tough place to be in sometimes. In those, have you had a situation where you were like, you weren't able to deliver what you promised to your community? Have you had that yet? Or so far, have you kind of figured out a way to figure that out?
No, I mean, I feel like because I'm pretty good at knowing what I can and can't handle, that I haven't gotten into a situation where I just couldn't produce what I promised.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also really good at like keeping myself motivated and scheduled. But I'm like, I will start creating something months in advance, mm-hmm. you know, so if I know I'm going to do something.
You always have a backlog.
Yeah, I always have a backlog. So if I know I'm going to be posting like an event in February, which I have one going on right now, I created all that content in December, mm-hmm. you know, it was like really far back. Only because I know like in between, there's just so much that can happen that will affect my mood that I couldn't potentially do it. But I feel like a lot of people go into it and they don't take that into account. You know, it's like, or they're just not good at staying ahead.
Most people are not good at staying ahead.
Yeah. You know, they're not, it's like, and that's okay. It's like, maybe it's just not for you then, you know, but it's such a thing that everyone's expected to do now that you feel like, oh, I can't handle this. So I must be really bad. I'm a failure at it. It's like, you're not a failure at it. It's just not used to that,
yeah.
You know?
It's on the mindset, because like, even like, I don't know, like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll post some 3D once a week.
No, even I've asked you before. Yeah, I said, when are you going to help me make these posts? And you're like, never.
Get on it.
I'm right on it. You're like, oh, when I don't have a day job. And I'm like, oh, well, that's never going to happen. So.
Post whenever I can. So whenever you see something 3D in the Instagram, that's me finally contributing.
I don't get on your case about it much.
I don't know. It's again, like, I don't just pump art anymore. I'm like trying to mess with everything else.
No, love your like monthly toaster post. Right. It's great.
Well, yeah, well, like we said, the work is often not visible, right? Like, we do so much of what we do is behind the scenes and, you know, creating the ability to make something that you can see. So that's tough. It's really hard to show progress visibly like that sometimes.
I'll post my daily like code changes to the public.
Oh my goodness.
Get some public code reviews going on.
I'll see like 10,000 followers leave immediately. Like, what is this?
What if I color it?
Color code it?
Color the syntax. No, it's blue today.
Okay. Seven, like I do the 7 days of color, you're going to do the 7 weeks of code.
Seven syntax of, I don't know.
7 weeks of misplaced semicolons in your code.
Yeah. All right. If you use a nice IDE, it helps a lot.
Sure does.
Writers, good stuff.
All right, I'm taking this fourth shot. Cheers.
I need more light in here. Seattle's happening.
Well, the sun's going down too. Oh my god.
Like a vampire. I'm like, what? There we go.
There you That's go. That did it.
Yeah.
Now it auto exposes properly.
Cameras are great. Yeah. They'll adjust for you. So what about this experience work? Like, cause you're working together, right? You're living together. What's been your favorite experience? Like what do you enjoy most about doing this together? Cause it's like, it's a big deal. Like me and my wife are always together. We don't work together though. So like that's a whole extra layer on top of it. What are you enjoying about it? Don't say nothing.
Well, we enjoy each other's company.
We do enjoy each
other. We enjoy theorizing why everybody else around us is falling apart or like fighting each other during the like coronavirus lockdown. I'm like, what's the big deal? This is fun. Like,
sounds like you enjoy being around each other. That's great.
That's all it does. A plus.
I think that helps. I don't think it would be too good if we're inviting each other all the time.
Like, we don't need like proxy friends or whatever to kind of, you know, how some group work better with like an extra friend or whatever. You know, those type of people. But once you lock them down or isolate them, it falls apart.
It just falls apart. So, I don't know. We just enjoy being together. I think that helps.
I get it. Believe me, I definitely get that. I don't think everybody has that though. So
I feel like that is pretty rare.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, what is wrong with us? I don't know.
I think it's what's right with you. So, and that's okay, right? Like,
you can tell what's wrong with me. Because even at FOSO, like, you know, we both went to FOSO. Apparently, she always dropped by and say hi when I was in open lab, but I don't remember none of it.
You don't remember any of it. That's when you were like, work.
Yeah, that's when I was like, work.
Yeah.
I think you invited me out to pizza, and then that was it.
That was it. Fed him.
Yeah, you fed me.
Wait, so I want to ask about that. So this is before you were together? Like, you dropped by to see him before you
became... Yeah, okay. We both went to school there at Full Sail. They had open labs.
Yeah. It was about 2004.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. Interesting. So then you both went there separately. Bev, where are you from originally?
I was born in North Carolina, but I grew up in Florida.
Oh, okay. So you're relatively local for that. You knew about Full Sail from it being in the state. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then Full Sail, Florida was my ticket out of Puerto Rico.
Right.
Right.
Whatever works.
But we weren't even in the same class. You were a class ahead of me.
Yeah. Like,
you know, because they used to play your demo reel and I could hear the music in the other room. And I was like, if I have to hear that music one more time for this kid's demo reel, I'm going to go over there. But it was yours the whole time, so
I'm gonna share the demo here on your chat afterwards.
Oh, you're gonna share it?
Yeah, I still have it. It's on YouTube and everything. I'm proud of the old crappy stuff I made.
Everybody loved it. Anybody? That's why I had to hear the demo reel music so much. Yeah,
you got to keep playing it now. Like, that's something you got to keep
on repeat.
Something to irritate her with, right? Oh man. So knowing that you both, I didn't realize you met at Full Sail. I love that. What, so talk to me about that. Like, how did that kind of form from there? And then you're like, all right, this is somebody I actually want to get to know. Because Full Sail is an intense place for people that don't know. Like, it's a lot of work, a lot of time. Like, having a social life can be really difficult. So it's something you have to kind of make time for.
I'm trying to remember now. I think this is after I graduated. And then I think I was supposed to hire me on as like, I think they call it like mentor.
Mm-hmm.
So you come back like as an alumni, just help the kids through whatever modeling question they have.
So you're like a lab instructor?
Yeah, like lab assistant.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it was during that time. And then I think you were just wrapping up pizza and I don't know, anime conventions. A few anime conventions. I'm like, all right. So, you know, after I graduated, I'm like, all right, I got the degree. I'm good. I got a job as a lab instructor. Now I can have fun.
I don't know. You just had that allure.
Oh, man. So once you started dating, how long were you still in the area? Like, was it like, did you decide to move together somewhere from here? Like, how did that kind of happen?
I was all over the place, right? I think I was still, we were still in Florida for like another 3 years because I was at Rockwell.
Okay.
Yeah, Greater Orlando area, military sim. And I think that's when I was itching to like do anything game related. It took the first thing, which was in Washington. So I left first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She followed me.
Well, you, right? You got me into the studio. I was at Darkest Air for a while.
Yeah, so yeah, Startup Studio, I went there first. We needed a concept and stuff. I pitched you, and you got hired on, and then you came over.
Mm-hmm. Ah, excellent.
And, you know, and then, what, that's Psychosis Studio. They went under as any good
startup.
As any good startup does.
We've all been through that one, yeah.
So yeah, that they went under. Then I couch surfed in California. You went back to Florida. I got hired back at Zipper, and then you came back, and then Bungie, and then...
It was a lot of this.
Yeah,
it's a lot of...
Yeah, no, I get it. Like, especially early in a career, like, this is the kind of thing that happens in this industry. Lots of moving around, studios shutting down, layoffs. It's not fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, after Psychosis shut down, and then Zipper shut down, Bungie was cool, but that was contract.
Yeah, and I was already back up here by then.
Yeah, you were back
up Bungie,
here.
Yeah.
And then when that contract ended, that's when Hi-Rez happened. We flew to Hi-Rez, did that. And then I didn't want to do Hi-Rez because I didn't like that genre of game. That's when we went to Texas for Arcane. And
like that's when we got married.
Yeah, a week before leaving Georgia, like you said, you want to get married this week?
Oh, yeah. It's just like,
sure.
For real? You're just like, yeah. Hey, let's get married this week.
I guess going back, like, when we left Washington the first time to Georgia, I was like, I think that's when I proposed to you, like a week before leaving Washington.
Right, a week before leaving Washington, you proposed to me, and then a week before leaving Georgia, we
got married. Yeah.
Ah, game development. So many interesting love stories entwined in game development. It's not the normal story, right? It never is.
It's, you know, it's people compared to like a military family, always moving.
I always say it's, you know, like we're like a military family without the benefits.
Yeah.
You
know? Yep.
So at what point did you start talking about doing a studio together? Like, was this like a long time coming, or was it kind of like was it more of a recent kind of, or like, was it 2016? Was that when you like really started talking about it?
I think that's when the initial scene, like you started doing the brand Cruising Creations, because we cruise, we create stuff. Because back then we also did like cosplay stuff. So instead of saying like, you know, cruising games or cruising, you know, whatever digital.
We didn't want to like pigeonhole ourselves into just games.
So
we didn't want to be like cruising games, because then that's all people would expect.
Yeah, they would expect games.
Yeah, and I feel like we have a lot of other interests too. We do have like, we make a lot of other crafts and things like that that we want to eventually even do in the future. And so that's why we said creations.
Because even currently, Bev got the silhouette machine and I got a nice fancy Canon printer for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's like manually doing her own like sticker sheet sets.
Mm.
So that is a creation.
That falls under creation.
It's not games. Stickers, stationery or whatever. So creation is a nice catch all.
Yeah.
And that's something Bev like just thought of and started initially at Hot during 2016 timeframe. And then when we went to Texas and Arcane, that's when I started saying, ooh, I want to work in that. Ooh, that looks cool. Ooh. So I think from that point on, I've tried to align any future jobs to allow side projects and stuff like that.
Okay, that makes sense. And you're in a really good spot now where Unity is pretty open to that, right? Like you're able to do that work without any issue.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I like to think that's one of the reasons they hired me, because I've touched so many engines, touched a lot of things, just the AAA pipeline of stuff. And I think that was the initial first project, that Gigaia project, which was supposed to be like a vertical game sample of, you know, a game in Unity, by Unity, for, you know, whatever. But you know, as anything goes, restructures, shuffling of money and whatever, you know.
Yeah, no.
That got shelved.
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure it out. But yeah, survived 2 layoffs already, so.
Good job.
Doing
good.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know you've been in the industry a while when you count how many layoffs you've made it through. So that. I made it through 3 at EA in 4 years. I'm just saying, like, that was quite an accomplishment during that time. So where do you go next? Like what's your next milestone with this stuff together? Do you have a specific thing in mind?
Besides Florida.
You want to come back to Florida?
We would like to
come back to Florida. Yeah.
It goes back to
Well, that's where his family is, and my family, too.
Yeah.
I have a brother there, and his mom and dad is there, so. Or, I don't really see why we would go to any other state.
Yeah, especially, currently with, remote work is a thing, so I'm like...
Right, we're trying to get over there before Unity's like...
Oh, you're going to come back to
Florida? You're going to come back to the office? I'm like, no, we live in Florida already, it's too late for that.
Yeah. Sorry. I've got a few friends at Unity that live here, so that's interesting. Is there not an office near here?
There's an office in...
Is it in Orlando?
Yeah, in Orlando. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're just going to have to come to Orlando, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
Welcome. Come on back.
It'd be like going home. It would not,
Yeah, it's just trying to figure out how to get there now. So I guess that's our main goal.
Yeah.
So I guess another side of that is when we officially make that, stamp for the business, whatever license or whatever. It has to be from a whatever state you pick as well.
Oh, you should do that in Delaware. Right? You should always incorporate Delaware. So
why Delaware?
The laws there are much better. Like most companies incorporate in Delaware or do their stuff there. So you should look into that. I don't know all the details. I just know that's where everybody does it. So.
Okay.
It doesn't matter where you are. So,
does your wife know anything about that?
She does, actually. I'm sure. Right. So that's right. I'm supposed to connect you guys, aren't I? So you can talk about the business side of things.
Let's do a power couple chat next time.
There you go. That sounds great. So, what's keeping you from coming to Florida? Like right now, if that's your goal,
planning. I guess at the moment, it's just planning.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. Like it's moving your whole life somewhere is a bit of a, a bit of a thing.
That's easy. I've done it so many times. It's just the act of doing it now. The Texas to Washington drive was no joke.
Oh, yeah.
So now we're going to double the distance.
So now we're just like, let's just double the distance.
Yeah, why not?
We didn't torture ourselves enough.
Yeah.
Interesting. And how long have you been? You're in Seattle right now, right? You're in that area?
Yeah, the greater Seattle area.
You've been there how long now?
Coming up 3 years.
Okay.
That's a new record at any company.
Is it really?
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, my record was 4 before I went to Volition, where I had 8. So, but it's like you kind of make your way along, right? Where it's like it hopefully gets a little better, a little better, a little more, and then you'll see. Honestly, I hope to retire from Insomniac, so I hope this is where I am for quite a while.
I feel like you could judge any company, because the last time you went to a place, they were like, why is there so many gaps in between your employment? I was like, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
I was like, there's no way they understand this company. They all just like how we work, there's no way. That shouldn't even be a question.
Right. In our industry, at least.
Yeah.
It's a really weird thing. And I think it's something that in our industry is less of an issue for sure. But like employment gaps, like especially in games, it's like, I was looking for a job. You know what I mean? Like what do you want me to do? Like I was literally unemployed looking for more work. Like, I don't know what else
to say. NDA. Yeah. Can't
right.
talk about it.
Yeah, right. That's right. Just put in there. Like, well, the nice thing is you have this company, right? So that's always, there is something you're working on, even if you're not doing something else. So that's
my gap filler is cruising creations.
Yeah. In those moments, you're like, I just devoted all my time to this, like, okay, cool. What does your shirt say? Support your local what? I can't see the bottom.
It says support your local street cats.
Yeah, street cats. There. There we go.
I've been looking at that all day. Sorry, I keep seeing it.
Yeah,
nice. Did you just lower your desk? Is that what?
Yeah.
It's
we're standing right now, so.
Nice. I love it. That's great. What kind of desk do you have? I have an Uplift, and I love it.
What was this one called?
Autonomous or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Autonomous.me, I think it's the...
Yeah. I've seen those. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, like any big tech company or anybody, just like, oh, here's a little stipend to buy work from home, whatever. I'm like, all right, I'm getting a standing desk.
Yeah, that's what I bought my chair with that. So, yeah, I get that for sure. It's good. Like it's really interesting to me how now that most of us work from home, at least part of the time, how important our setup is, you know, and like those kind of things make a big difference. Being able to just like stand up for whatever time I want to, like it's a huge benefit and something that, you know, even five years ago, I wouldn't have put a second thought into.
Definitely good. That combined with like dogs is pretty much my excuse to, you know, get up and move now. So.
Yeah. Well, and not only just the having dogs around, the mental health aspect of that. Like, I'm a much happier person when I'm surrounded by dogs. Like,
that's me. I don't know about him so much, but that's for sure.
Yeah. But
they're quiet now.
They're quiet now. Don't make eye contact with them, though, because they'll be all over.
But, like, being able to just, like, go and, like, take my dog out in the backyard for even 10 minutes, like, we couldn't do that in a traditional world. Like, you had to commute home, do your thing, commute back, hope that was your hour of lunch. Like it's just such a different thing. The time savings we have from being at home and the comforts are just, it's unmatchable. Like I love working from home.
It's crazy though. I don't know why they always try and like say, so many people are saying they want to go back to the office. I'm like, that's gotta be a lie, right?
You know, just go back to the type of person, right? Just certain people need
I was like, a lot of people want to get out of their house.
Yeah, that too, right? I guess going back to like,
you don't want to be with me all day.
Yeah, right? So I could see like, you know, different people, different whatever.
I know.
So if you have the choice to do that, cool. But if you're forcing me to go back to the office, then it's not cool.
I feel like they should take into consideration the people who don't want to go back as well.
Yeah.
I feel like they always lean more towards the people who want to go back to the office.
It's always telling the introverts, oh, come out of your shell, but it's never like, oh, extroverts, come into my shell.
Yeah.
That sounds weird, but you know what? You get that idea, right?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Understand it's expected from us, but not from anyone else.
Yeah, so for extroverts, going to the office, mingling, getting whatever, that's in their element, but we're out of our element. So, you know, throw us a bone every now and then.
Yeah, right. I guess the pandemic did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am a major introvert. Growing up thinking I was an extrovert, but it turns out I was just a highly functioning introvert, right? Like I could turn it on, but then I would need that time. Like over the last few years, the pandemic really taught me who I am. You know what I mean? Like I love being at home. I could be here all the time. I could never leave this place and I'd be okay. But you're right. Like society is always like, they need to bring us out of our shell to be more extroverted. I'm like, no, like, let me be who I am. And then like, if anything, encourage the extroverts to be more introverted. Like let's level the playing field that way for once.
Super helpful. I mean, like I was more like, you know, extra, you know, you saw me.
I did.
I was always in open lab. Like, let me work in this, blah, blah, blah. So I'll do a shout out for Lowell Higgins. He got me kind of more. He also went through FOSA. I was his mentor when he went through. He just got Kingdom Hearts. I'm like, oh, that's a cool game. You should let me borrow it. And then he never saw it for like another few months after that.
He got you out, essentially.
He got me out of my shell to an extent.
Yeah.
Combined with you as well, because it was around the same time. Lowell, he's doing good now. We still keep in contact. He's a leader, VFX person at iRes now, so.
Oh, nice.
I'm an introvert too. I'm just a chatty introvert.
But you're more high functioning.
High functioning, yeah. So I totally get that. Because I can be here and talk and sound, you know, sane sometimes. Yeah, and
I'm just standing here staring at like, ooh, what's
up? You know, it's, I think a common misconception is that introverts can't like be normal, like in social situations. Cause that's normal. Not the issue, right? Like I can be on, I call it on, right? Like I can be on as much as I need to be, but the amount that I am, I need that much like recover time where mm-hmm. I'm like, don't bother me. Let me watch my shows and hang out with my wife and pet my dogs. Like, I don't want to do anything extroverted for a while to recharge, you know?
The misconception is that you're miserable doing that. You know, it's like, you must be miserable because you're staying home and you're not out going to clubs and you're not out at bars. And it's like, so you must be a very miserable person. And it's like, no, I just enjoy being alone.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it. Oh man, do I get it. Like, it's such a weird thing. Like, this is how I'm comfortable, you know, like, this is what recharges me.
That's part of why we want to go back to Florida, more, you know, less city. Mm. This is too much city right now in Washington.
It's too much city for me.
Just tone it back a little bit. Give me some more, you know, marshlands or whatever.
You know, and it's like, Bellevue is relatively tame, so that's relatively. Just, you know, I can't imagine living in like a big city.
See,
but even this is too much. It's too much. Like, as soon as you go outside, you're like, damn, it's like people, cars, you know, everything.
Dogs on your face. The siren that's always driving.
Yeah. So if you have a lot of triggers, it's not a great place.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. We bought our place a little outside. We're about 15 minutes from Full Sail, southeast of Orlando. And we're in Orlando, but like southeast of Winter Park. And it's nice because we like live in a subdivision. You know what I mean? Like, it's just houses around us. Like, I get to choose when I want, you know, to be around people or, you know, those kind of things. But I think you should start thinking about where my head is right now, which is, I want to be in Orlando in the winter and I want to be in the Pacific Northwest in the summer. That's my, mm-hmm. that's my plan. That's my goal. Like, I want both of those.
That's the goal. Yeah. It's always the goal. So every time you live in Florida, as soon as the summer hits, you're like, man, can I be anywhere else?
Exactly. You know? On top of that, I recently found out that I'm allergic to almost everything in Florida. So I like, there's multiple trees, grass, and molds that are here that are trying to kill me slowly. And none of them are in the Pacific Northwest. So that's where I'm like, you know what? I need to go up there where the air is cleaner for me. And then we'll go from there. So that's my goal.
Texas was. I was allergic to Texas
for cedars, and yes. You know what? Texas has a lot of cedars, so who's a mess there?
Cedar, I broke out and all that stuff, and the 100+ degree summers in Texas was something else.
Oh yeah, like it's hot in Florida, but it's like a different kind of hot.
Yeah, like, I'm used to humidity. I'm more like a tree frog coming from, you know, a tropical island. I'm like, I'm used to it. That's how my skin works, I guess.
Yeah,
but up here, dry.
Yeah, then it's
despite how much rain is in Washington,
it's just very dry.
It's really dry in here.
Yeah.
Really? Huh.
I don't know if it's because of this apartment or I don't know, some other supernatural force.
When I was growing up, when I was, I don't know, like maybe 6 to 10, 11 years old, I spent my summers in Texas around Dallas, and then some in like San Antonio area. Man, I hated it. I hated summers in Texas. It's the worst. Like, it was literally the worst. I don't want to do that anymore.
No, because my mom's living in we're living there right now, and she's like, "When are you guys coming?" We're like, "Let me come back to you."
Yeah, not in the summer. So
not in the summer. I'm like, "You come here."
Visit us about that.
Yeah, for real.
It's actually kind of interesting though that the country we live in has such different, you know, economic or not, but climates everywhere. Yeah, exactly. So like, you know what? I want to be in the snow and all that stuff. I'm going to move, you know, to like Colorado because in the winter I want multiple feet of snow, or like here in the winter, it's still 80 degrees. Like it's wild to me, the differences that we actually do have accessible to us.
Yeah. We had like exactly like what, maybe 3 days of snow in Washington, and that lasted maybe a few hours out of those 3 days.
That was enough. Yeah.
I get it. All right, so we got like 10 minutes left. Is there anything we haven't touched on that you hoped we would talk about tonight that you'd like to bring up? Anything on your mind? Because we've gone all over the place. We've gone all over.
I don't know. I think we covered a lot of everything.
I think we covered a lot of everything. We have no plan. We don't know what's coming next.
Yeah, we just don't know.
that's just okay, right? And you're in a place where that's okay.
Embrace the void. Yeah, I think I briefly mentioned like unity. I think the last talk it was like Yeah, Other Side Entertainment, they essentially ran out of money, so they shut down. But since we were working with the Unity people at the project, I think some of my contacts at Unity, I think, you know, whatever, they just so happened to have a position where I can fit in, and I think that's how I got into Unity. And then once I got in, I started learning C Sharp, so.
Was that just like the end of your the video previously?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about exactly.
Yeah, like again, like my
last episode.
Period. It goes back to what you said, and not maybe the first episode. It's like people you know, they kind of, you know, help you get into new positions. So
yeah.
Be friendly with everybody.
Or just do your own thing.
Do your own thing. Be true to yourself, make friends, and show you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. No, that's it's really interesting. I love when I see people kind of fall into a place that's comfortable for them in this industry, because I feel like it's not that common that people get into that kind of situation where you have a position that, you know, is kind of sustaining you, and then you can spend your extra time doing a thing that you love that you're doing together, right? Like that's a super unique thing. And this thing that you're doing together, you have a big vision for, but no pressure to kind of like move along a certain path to get there. So like that's, I think a lot of people that are interested in game development would see that as like an ideal situation. And so like it's always interesting to have that conversation and talk about how you got there and kind of what's working for you and kind of what your vision and dreams are going forward.
At least if anything, like time, just consider things take time. You can't rush anything.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until I've done whatever I've done 10 years later, I'm like, all right, I feel confident enough. I could kind of make a game now.
I guess it just depends how secure you want to be.
That too, right?
You know, yeah, you can drop everything and just get it done, but you know, a lot of people don't want to be in that situation. So,
well, let me ask this question.
And it's not, the thing is, it's not that we're like not highly dedicated to the idea. It's right. Like we are. We want to accomplish it. We want to see it happen. We want to make it a reality.
But we want to kill ourselves.
But again, we don't want to sacrifice mental health to get there.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a really important thing.
Absolutely. So I want to ask you together, like, what advice would you give to someone that's graduating soon, right? That has this idea of like, they have this thing they want to make, or they have some vision of what they want to do. They kind of want to be their own boss. They want to do their own thing. What, cause like you guys kind of went a different route and then got here. You didn't go straight into this, right? Mm-hmm. What's your advice to someone who's like, you know what? I'm graduating. I want to make my own company. I want to make my own thing. What advice do you have for me?
You got anything?
I'm thinking.
I want to say, you know, just do it. Just do it. Right? Yeah, you have a lot of ideas and you want to do this and all that stuff. But if you don't do, you know, you got to start at some point, right? Even though it's like crappy or whatever, falling apart, held together with duct tape, it's still something you can present. Get other people seeing, all right, you could see that duct tape thing. I could see it. Get more people involved and snowball from there. But I guess if like anything, you need to show some sort of proof or dedication to the thing that you want to do.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, I feel like if you're not dedicated to your own project, then nobody's gonna care what you're making.
Yeah, like dedication to something, your craft or idea or story. Like if like originally coming from the island, I want to make my own TV show. Because growing up with like 90s cartoon or what, Saturday morning cartoon, I want to make a cartoon. I'm like, all right. I got into, I think initially, like web comics. I'm like, man, I'm bad at drawing. So, but it exists, you know. I might be on the line somewhere. I don't remember.
You know, and I think if you're not sure and you just want to like get other people's opinions, you could always post online. As long as you don't take being on there too seriously. It's like, yeah. It's a good way to gauge your idea. You know, people seem really excited about something. Like whenever I post Toasty, everybody just like loves him and goes crazy for it. So we kind of know that that's something to focus on.
Okay.
You know, people look forward to it. They're excited about Toasty. So we're like, okay, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, because we all think our ideas are great and amazing ideas, you know, like in my mind, it's like the best thing ever. But then when you bring it in front of other people, they, you know, everyone's going to have their own opinion and you're not going to make everyone happy. But if the majority of people are interested and excited,
then you're on the right path.
Then you're on the right path, you know, and you can take everything they say with a grain of salt too. It's like, you don't have to do anything they say.
Yeah, you could do iron will. This is what I want. This is how it is. But if everybody's negative against it, so it's
just expect that you're going to get pushback from it, you know.
Yeah. Expect the pushback, change it or whatever, or, you know, modify it that makes people understand why you're doing it.
In a certain world way. Where you have everybody's opinion at your fingertips, why would you not utilize that? It's like you can already kind of gauge how well a project's going to go based on, you know, what they have to say. And like I said, some people are just going to be jerks because that's how the internet is. But there are a lot of really genuine people out there that do enjoy, you know, and want to give positive feedback. So
well, they want to feel like they're a part of it, right? And that given that giving constructive feedback helps.
Invested in the project, they're going to want to invest into it and they're more interested and they feel like they're a part of the creation process too.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing. You know, you want people to feel like they're a part of it as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Most people don't get that opportunity, right? Like what we do is there's a small percentage of people that do this, you know, but there's a lot of people that are interested in it. And I think providing opportunities for people to be able to contribute, but not, you know, in some small way that they feel is important, that resonates with people and gets them really involved in what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a bunch of free stuff nowadays, so it's, you could pick anything up and just start doing something to an extent as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
You want to become a 3D, like Blender, it's free. There's so many stuff out there. Like half my YouTube is, you know.
Oh, you mean like learning software?
Yeah, it's like software in general. Like, I want to do 2D animation. You know, probably the top 10 stuff or whatever. You want to become a VTuber or whatever. That's popular now. There's so many stuff out there to do that now.
That's what my son wants to do. He wants to be a VTuber.
So. Yeah. Man, I'll subscribe. I think that, yeah, I mean, that's something I'm trying to work on too, is like just talking in general, right? So I think VTubing path might be a good thing. I don't know.
Do you really want to add one more thing to our plate?
Yes.
Stuff that we have not
in it? Or a toasty VTuber model.
Toasty doesn't talk though.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Done.
All right, we're coming up on time. Anything else that you guys want to make sure? We're going to put give me your links. We're going to put everything into the show notes so people can connect with you guys. We put the Instagram link in the chat a little bit earlier. But is there anything else that you want to make sure people know before we wrap up for tonight?
No, I think that's it.
That's totally fine. That's good. If we got to the point where you're not like, oh, we also need to talk about X, then I think we've done our job. That's good. I like it.
I think between the three shows, you're done with me already. Covered quite a bit.
Hey, you're always welcome. We always have good conversations. So.
It's just a cherry on top.
That's right.
So when we come back again,
that's right.
So you're like, I'm just here, so you don't have to keep going. My wife, you're toasty. My wife did this. My wife did that. Well, here's the wife.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'm here now.
We now know the wife.
All my ideas is, you know, marry a concept artist.
Just marry a concept artist and you're good to go.
Yeah, you know so, what? I did that too. So I get it. It's good. I like it. All right, cool. Well, I'm going to jump off and say my goodbyes. Thank you both so much for doing this. This was a lot of fun. I think there's some really good stuff here for people that are interested in kind of doing their own thing and, you know, or even just like finding their own path in the industry because there's so many options and we don't get to talk about this one all that much. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. Third time for me.
Awesome. Well, I will talk to you soon. I appreciate it and have a good rest of your evening.
Yeah, good night, everybody. Keep on creating, do cool stuff, and I don't know, catch us on the internet side.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for watching. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications below so you'll know when new episodes are ready. If you're interested in the audio version of the podcast, I've got links for that in the show notes for you. And if you want to join us live and get your own questions answered, we're at twitch.tv/JamesonDorral every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Have a good week, and we'll see you soon. Universe asks, should junior level designers expect salary or hourly as a whole? And I think a lot of entry level positions tend to be hourly. At least that's what I've seen most of. But it just depends on the company, and depends on, how they structure things, how big the company is, and what the kind of terms of that contract or, agreement is. But honestly, I think at this point in the industry where we're at, either one, you shouldn't look for one or the other. Like, it's really more about what is the job, what are the expectations of the job, and what is my compensation for that job, right? Like, that's what you care about. How it's structured in this regard, I don't think is as important now. But a lot of times contract work and stuff like that will not have benefits. Those are the kind of things you got to think about more than like whether you're salary or not.